Okay. First of all, a huge good evening to everyone. I would like to welcome you to the 2014 STD Prevention Conference. My name's Dr. Gail Boland. I'm the director of the Division of STD Prevention at CDC. This has been quite an exciting opportunity for all of us. This is the first time that an STD prevention conference has been done in conjunction with collaborators and sponsors and MOUs. So we are so pleased to be doing this in collaboration with the 15th IUSD World Congress and the 2nd Latin America IUSD Alacits Congress. So I think everyone should give a round of applause for these two groups or three groups coming together. We realize a lot of you have traveled from near and far to participate in this conference, and we're very excited about the international flavor. I hope it's going to be a model that will continue, maybe not every year or every other year, but hopefully we can convene at least every 4 years, because we do live in a global world and we share a lot of common concerns and problems that I think we need to collectively address better. Again, with all conferences, we believe they're critical to be able to have face-to-face interaction and mingle with your colleagues in the field of STD prevention to hear the latest research and hopefully take home with you lessons that can be applied to your work. I want to highlight a few events that may enhance your time here in Atlanta. I know we've already had some great visits to our health department sites in the Atlanta area, and I encourage you to talk to the Georgia Health Department staff that are here and see what happens sort of on the ground, at least in the United States, with STD prevention and control. First of all, it may not be obvious in the program book, but in the South Tower, there's an atrium terrace. And when Asha is not using it for, okay, you're not doing any birthday parties there, okay? When ASTDA, the American STD Association, is not using it for their awards ceremony, we've set up tables and some small rooms where you can have meetings with colleagues and discuss whatever you would like to meet about. So feel free when you are, you know, had enough sessions and want to go have some networking to use that space, because we do have the whole hotel. We are going to get you having some exercise walking between towers and exhibits and different rooms. But I also want to highlight for the early risers, this is something that we do often in our, at least, clinical conferences in the United States. We've got some daily breakfast symposia that start at 6:45. And we also have, this is new to our prevention conference this time, these clinical case series, which I know everyone loves, and they also are going to start at 7 a.m. So I know I will be up bright and early wanting to hear about the interesting cases that are going to be presented. We also recommend that you take advantage of the networking opportunities. We do have a reception gala on Wednesday night at the Georgia Aquarium, so not only can you make sure you wear your badge, I guess we do have some level making sure that our wonderful neighborhood friends outside in the Atlanta area don't wander in and enjoy our party, but maybe we could do some STD networking and research. And also we found debates are really a wonderful format to really discuss and learn from each other, so we encourage you to attend the debate session. For those of you who don't know me, I still carry a flip phone, and if there's anything technologic, I have to ask my children. So we are excited to let you know that in addition to the international focus, this conference is also the first of its kind to fully integrate social media into our world. So this can be for several purposes. Attendees can connect with each other while they're in the conference. It opens up the conference to colleagues who were not able to travel to the conference to hear what's going on. And we're using several tools to start the conversation. So, like me, I'm not really an expert, so some of these concepts were foreign to me. So if you're like me, Twitter is a micro-blogging service, and people can share short updates and stories of 140 characters or less with their followers. So if you have a Twitter account, so if you don't have a Twitter account, you can't participate, we encourage you to join the conversation. And then we're also doing Vine Videos, which is an app for creating and sharing short 6-second videos. So we're hoping to create a few of those during the conference, so I'm looking forward to seeing those. And then there's something called Storyfy is another social media tool that we are going to be using at this conference. So the bottom line is what's on the slide. We'd like anybody who has these technological capabilities to join the conference and use the hashtag STDConference14. So now I have to sort of explain how this family has sort of birthed a child. A lot of you probably know that people go to meetings and they have really great ideas, and then all of a sudden they seem to go off and do other things. So at the World IUSD Conference in India, I had barely started at CDC. Dr. King Holmes and Dr. Kevin Fenton thought, wouldn't it be great if we merge all our conferences? Well, then Dr. King Holmes has a lot more important things to do, and Dr. Fenton, after the baby was born, abandons it and leaves it for us to take care of. So we created a village, and this really is a collaborative conference. Every one of the collaborators has a role in the conference. And I first have to say that if it hadn't been for David Lewis, who is my co-chair or chair, this conference probably would never have gotten off the ground. So it's been a great privilege working with him. He's been a great voice and a great colleague to have, and so I can't thank him enough for everything that we have, our journey that we've had over the last at least year and then some. And again, as we said, you notice there's not anything in the title that says this is a CDC conference. We have challenges having CDC conferences. So this conference has been really presented by this group of collaborators. And certainly we can't thank Lynn Barkley enough from the American Social Health Association, who not only is the executive director for the American Social Health Association, Sexual Health Association, she's also affiliated with the American STD Association in an executive capacity. So she's been wearing two hats. Dr. Bradley Stoner is the current president of the American STD Association. I think he's happy to turn the reins over to Case after his experience this year. And then in the United States, we also have a coalition of STD directors, the state and local programs that direct STD programs in the United States, and Bill Smith is the executive director there. Those have traditionally been our domestic partners, but we're really happy this year we were able to bring on the Public Health Agency of Canada and Dr. Tom Wong, obviously David Lewis, as I mentioned, and then Patricia Garcia, who was representing the Latin American region for IUSD. So this has been a great effort, and I'm not joking, we did have an MOU that lawyers at CDC had to sign off on, and I think it's a model of collaboration that I hope we will consider in the future. In addition to our co-sponsors, we had some additional people on our steering committee, Sev Girel, Charlotte Gatos, Jeannie Marazzo, Darren Ogben, who's my deputy, Rachel Powell, and Raul Ramaguerra, who joined us on our lively monthly calls. And then again, the conference probably, and they're probably still so busy doing things, I don't know if they're here yet. I know they're here, but I don't know if they're in the room. Yolanda Cavalier, who's been our conference coordinator and really just moved from LA after being working in a local health department and took on this job with the assignment of doing this large event. And Patricia Jackson has been the assistant conference coordinator. So when you see them, please extend your thanks to them because they've really done yeoman work. As we all know, the devil is always in the details that sometimes other people are not aware of. We also at CDC have a national advisory committee. We feel it's very important to make sure our partners are guiding us in terms of content so that this conference is relevant to their members, certainly the Georgia Health Department, and we included other nonprofits and other HHS organizations, Advocates for Youth, Division of Reproductive Health at CDC, the National Family Planning and Reproductive Health Association, the National Alliance of State and Territorial AIDS Directors, Carolyn Deal from NIH, the Office of Population Affairs, our Office of Adolescent Health, our Division of Adolescent and School Health, and our Association of Maternal and Child Health. So those are sort of the conveners and the organizers, and really this conference could not have happened without the scientific leadership of Dr. Sevki Orel. Ironically, she has always been the scientific chair of our previously known CDC domestic conference, and ironically, in India, she was actually elected the chair of the IUSD conference as well, so it came together. And if you haven't noticed, we are trying a different way of bringing science, program, and policy together. We are not having our traditional siloed epidemiology sessions and laboratory sessions and behavioral science sessions. We really feel a more integrated approach, which follows a little bit of a program science model that you'll, if you haven't heard about, you'll hear a little more about tomorrow. So we divided tracks up into assessment, program definition and prevention services, and then assurance, and then domains into clinical and laboratory evaluation and policy. And then we matched abstracts sort of by topical areas. A lot of them were population-based, but we obviously had some that didn't fit in there. And we had some international themes, measurement themes, as well as novel techniques. And then as Brad's going to talk a little bit more, we've also added the clinical case series. So the way that we structure our meeting, it's purely science-driven. You have to submit an abstract. It goes through an intensive review process. And these are the committees that really contributed to reviewing all of the abstracts, making recommendations about plenary speakers. We had a CDC co-chair and external co-chair, so Matthew Golden from the University of Washington and Elizabeth Troney from CDC headed up the assessment committee. Sue Blank from the New York City Health Department and Matthew Hogben from CDC headed up the program definition and prevention services. And the assurance committee was headed up by Marion Carter from CDC and Charlie Rabins from NCSD. And then in terms of our domains, William Geisler from the University of Alabama and Kim Warkowski from CDC and Emory headed up the clinical and laboratory. Joan Chow from the California Department of Public Health and Tom Giff from CDC did evaluation. And Jamie Leier, CDC, and Naomi Schuyler headed up our policy team. So I think when you look at the depth and breadth and content, it really is a tribute to the scientific integrity that the scientific committee held our steering committee to. Because occasionally someone wanted something inserted at the end or they wanted to buy a symposium. We said, unfortunately, the process is really driven by the science and not by anything else. So just to let you know, it's going to be a busy 3 days, and I know we always are challenged by having too much and everyone wants to go to everything, but at least we've got 6 plenaries, 4 mini plenaries, 13 symposiums, 3 breakfast symposiums, 3 clinical series, 4 debates, 21 oral sessions, 2 poster sessions, 3 networking events, and overall that's 182 presentations and 432 posters. So a lot of work done, again, by the scientific committee. So again, just want to thank you before David Wilson is going to be coming up to the podium. We want to thank you for all of you who took the time, because we know how hard it is to travel these days and a lot of people have a lot of restrictions, to come to Atlanta for this conference. We look forward to a conference that enlightens, challenges, and inspires you, and we hope the networking will reunite colleagues and foster some new collaborations. So I'm next going to introduce my co-chair, Dr. David Lewis, and we will have him speak to the IUSD contribution.
Thank you very much, Dr. Lewis. So thank you, Gail, very much for those kind words, and I'm here really to welcome everyone here on behalf of the International Union Against Sexually Transmitted Infections, otherwise known as IUSD, to this 2014 STD Prevention Conference. Many of you will know about IUSD, but I'm sure there's some in the room who don't know what we do. So I thought it would be helpful just to use this slide to explain. IUSD was founded, in fact, in 1923. So it is the oldest international organization with the objective of fostering international cooperation in the control of sexually transmitted infections, and obviously these days HIV/AIDS as well. It's concerned as an organization with the medical and the scientific, social and epidemiological aspects of sexually transmitted infections and their control. Importantly, the organization is on the roster of the United Nations Economic and Social Council and is an official non-government organization in consultative status with the World Health Organization, and that gives us quite a role in policy and advice from a specialist point of view. And we spent this afternoon discussing WHO's global strategy and potentially a new one from 2016 onwards. We are a charity and we're registered in the United Kingdom. USTI has a regional approach, and I think that's one of its strengths. So we have a strong European branch, we have an Asia-Pacific branch, an African branch, a Latin American branch, and a North American branch. We believe very much in USTI that we should support our regions, and our regions are our strength. So every year now we try to hold a World IOSD meeting in different parts of the world. And you can just see here a flavor of some of these meetings. So we had a very successful meeting last year in Europe, chaired by Angelica Stari, that was held with the ISS TDR in Vienna. And many of you, I'm sure, did go to that meeting. We're here in this wonderful meeting today with more partners than we've ever worked with before, and very much looking forward to the science and also the collaborations and friendships that will develop during the next few days. Next year, we're going to be going to the Asia-Pacific region, to Brisbane, for a very Australian feel to our World Congress, which will be held again with the ISS TDR as a joint meeting. 2016, if Brisbane's not enough for you, then let me entice you with the flavors of Morocco. A wonderful place to have a conference. Marrakesh is the first time I think that USTI's had a world meeting in North Africa. And it'll be very important for that region to have a chance to listen to some of the presentations that will be presented there. And that will be chaired by Mina Hansali. And then in 2017, so we're always working well ahead, we're joining again with ISS TDR now to go to the exciting city of Rio de Janeiro. After the World Cup, it should be a bit quieter, but we're going to still have a chance to do some samba dancing along the streets of Copacabana. And again, we'd like to let you know about that now so you can start planning your itineraries. We have a membership system, associate membership or full members. Full members get reduction on our conferences. Associate members join up, and it's very important for us to build up our data base and our membership base so we have a bigger voice to discuss with places like WHO. So if you're interested after this meeting to know more about us and what we do, I'd encourage you to sign up now, or at least by Thursday. And you can do it on the website, www.iosti.org. It's a very simple, straightforward website to use. So in my last slide, I wanted just to say that this is the 15th International Union Against STIs World Congress and a second Latin American Congress. And we're very pleased to have the Latin American element here. It's a new region for us. It's been only really growing the last 2 or 3 years. Tremendous work done by Patty Garcia and her team. And we hope that those of you who aren't used to what's going on in Latin America will spend some time in those meetings. There's several symposia and talks from that part of the world at this Congress. The Congress, as you heard from Gail, has involved many partners, and we thank all the partners really for their vision. We've learnt a lot from each other during the last, over a year now of the debates and discussions and many, many teleconferences. And I also should thank my own organization for paying the phone bill some of the time. CDC, I think, paid the rest of it. Special thanks to Gail Bolan, to Sevgi Rand, to Lynn Barclay, because these are the three angels, Captain Scarlet's angels. Lynn's there in Scarlet today. But they were really very, very important in making this thing work. Gail with her strategic planning steering committee work, Sevgi with her great vision for the program, much of which I had to try and go to the dictionary to understand because I'm not from that part of the world, I'm more a laboratory person, and Lynn Barclay, of course, for just being there and making it all happen. And also I want to just say thank you to the work of several of our executive committee who were involved in assisting with the program development and other conference logistics. And a particular thank you to Charlotte Gados, Patty Garcia, Joanne Dillon, Raj Patel and Angelica Espinosa Miranda, who were involved in our international scholarship team. And we did manage to raise about $60,000 for international scholarships to be able to come to this meeting from Standard Diagnostics and Hologic. So a great thank you to those two companies from us too for making that possible. And finally, I just wanted to welcome all the participants once more because it's you that make the meeting. Without you, we have no meeting at all. So thank you all for coming and being part of the next few days. So it's my great pleasure now to introduce Dr. Brad Stoner. I'm sure most of you know who he is. And if you don't, you should do. You should all be members of the ASTDA. He's the president of the American STD Association. Brad, over to you. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks, David. Thank you. I do represent the American STD Association. We are the nation's premier professional association of researchers, clinicians, and public health professionals dedicated to the prevention and control of STDs. Membership is open to one and all. Please join ASTDA. You do get the STD Journal as a benefit of your membership, and it's a wonderful organization. We are actually the North American branch of IUSTI, so we work very closely with IUSTI increasingly. I just want to say a quick thank you to our sponsors, Hologic, Standard Diagnostics, Quest Diagnostics, and Merck, who generously donated funds to support the conference. Thank you very much. And just a quick promotion for the ASTDA Awards ceremony. Every year we honor the luminaries in our field, and this year Dr. Frank Judson is receiving the Distinguished Career Award, and this award ceremony will be held tomorrow afternoon from 5:45 to 7:30 in the Atrium South Tower. Please do join us. It's a wonderful event. Dr. Judson will be giving a talk about his lifetime career in STD prevention. And finally, just a word about the STD clinical case series. As Gail Boland mentioned, this is the first time we've included clinical cases at this conference, and these are fascinating case presentations and discussion, very bright and early each morning. Presenters, moderators, and discussants are coming from around the globe to discuss these cases. Case series one will be tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, and we have a number of very highly respected clinicians who will be discussing these cases and how they represent the field. Series number two on Wednesday at 7 a.m. and number three on Thursday, also at 7 a.m. So please do come and hear these clinical experts talk about these important cases. And thank you to the contributors of the cases for presenting what are going to be very, very interesting discussions. The discussion case presentations will be held in Dogwood Room B. So thank you very much for attending, and welcome to Atlanta. And I'd like now to introduce Mr. Bill Smith, who is the Executive Director of the National Coalition of STD Directors.
Good evening, everyone. I have the great pleasure tonight just to thank our local hosts, and in particular the Georgia Department of Public Health. Up here in the front row is the fabulous Michelle Allen, the state STD director. Please join me in thanking Michelle for all of her work putting together the meeting. NCSD represents the state and local health departments across the country doing STD work, and as their executive director of the organization, I couldn't be more proud and amazed of the work that they do each and every day in promoting sexual health through STD prevention. If you're from a state and local health department, just raise your hand. Don't be shy. Put them up. Thank you for the work you do every day. I also have the privilege tonight of introducing Dr. Brenda Fitzgerald. Dr. Fitzgerald serves as a commissioner of the Georgia Department of Public Health, and she's the state health officer. a board-certified obstetrician-gynecologist and a fellow in anti-aging medicine. Dr. Fitzgerald directs various state public health programs and leads the state's 18 public health districts and 159 county health departments. That makes my head hurt. She served on the board and as president of the Georgia OBGYN Society and worked as a healthcare policy advisor with House Speaker Newt Gingrich and Senator Paul Coverdell. She has served as the chairman of the board for the Georgia Public Policy Foundation and remains a senior fellow. Please join me in having Dr. Fitzgerald offer some intro remarks.
But my most important job is I come here with Michelle Allen. So I want to say thank you very much for having me this evening on behalf of the state of Georgia and the Georgia Department of Public Health. We wish you a warm welcome. You guys go to some amazing places, and I hope that you will find that Atlanta is warm and welcoming to you, and it certainly looks like you're going to have a fabulous time here. I think your conference theme says it all. More STD prevention for the money. Maximizing impact, efficiency, and return on program investments. It's the way I know we in public health here in Georgia and probably each of you in your individual endeavors have to do it. We absolutely have to do more for the money. We have to maximize what we do in every single lab test we run, in each piece of data we analyze, in every service we provide, in every condom we pass out, and in each life we touch. I think all of us are here because we want to do more STD prevention. That's why it's so crucial over the course of these next few days that you who are bringing your individual experiences and knowledge here to Atlanta, that you share ideas, that you learn from some of the leaders in the field, because this is an uncertain time. Certainly we know that STD is growing faster than we like. We know that the drugs we have relied on are becoming less effective in so many ways. We know that the funding has become uncertain for a lot of things, and we know that there are changes in the healthcare system. All of these challenges force us to do more with what we have, more for the money, as it were. In Georgia, I can tell you our situation. We certainly like to be winners and we like to be leaders, but unfortunately the reality here in Georgia may be like the reality in your home. Unfortunately here in Georgia, as far as for the United States, we're leaders in some places we don't want to lead, and that is we're first in primary and secondary syphilis, we're fifth in gonorrhea, we're eighth in chlamydia, we're ninth in congenital syphilis. These numbers are not acceptable, and I'm sure many of you face similar challenges in your home. We have to fix this. We have to do more. We have to, because it is our future. It's the future of our children. It's the future of our grandchildren, and it's the future around the world. In Georgia, we have adopted the policy of treatment as prevention model, and we think that that is an ideal model to use for approaching STD, for approaching HIV, and we are doing a lot of things, and I'm proud of the things that we are doing. We are doing a lot of things well. We are treating patients as an entire entity. We use behavioral counseling and lifestyle changes. We're taking treatment beyond just drugs and a condom and a brochure. We know that we have to do more. And I can say to you that what we're doing is good, but again, just we are here in this conference with you because we want to learn to do more. The people at the Georgia Department of Public Health will tell you that I ask a lot, and I certainly do, and then I ask for a little bit more. And that's what I'm asking for you at this conference. The challenge to you in these next few days is to stay engaged, keep us proactive, and help us develop the next steps for the progress we need to make in STD prevention, indeed in STD elimination. You are the leaders in the field. You have the vision. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. And this conference will give you an opportunity to share all of that. You are the greatest asset for this entire work, and I want to thank you very much for all you do every day. I want to thank you for being here. I want you to thank you for bringing inspiration to our state of Georgia, and I hope that you have a fabulous next few days. Welcome to Georgia.
So before I invite our plenary speaker up here, who we're very excited to have come, who was part of the birthing process of this conference, I would be remiss to not mention a co-sponsor that I forgot to mention, which was PAHO. And Massimo Ghiadelli unfortunately didn't send a picture, so my prompt down there wasn't telling me, but PAHO's also been very actively involved. They were late to come to our agreement between our lawyers and their lawyers, but there's been some very fruitful collaborations between CDC and PAHO as a result, so we are very happy that they were able to officially be a co-sponsor of this conference, and we're looking forward to continue working with them. So I have the pleasure of asking Dr. King Holmes to come up here as our plenary speaker. We have had the luxury of having some phenomenal opening speakers at this conference, one of which, Dr. Holmes, is now sitting in his chair, which is Dr. William Fagy. Dr. King Holmes is the first William Fagy Chair of Global Health at the University of Washington. I think for us domestically who know Dr. Fagy, he was a real leader, is a real leader in the field of public health and was the director at CDC for many years. Now he's at the Carter Institute. But King also heads up the infectious disease section at the Harborview Medical Center and founded and directed the University of Washington Center for AIDS and STDs. I could go on and on about his phenomenal career. We always say STD is king. He's published over 500 peer-reviewed publications, edited 30 books, mentored more than 100 scientists. I'm sure it's more than that. We always like to say there's very few of us who didn't train with King. And we're really excited to hear his wisdom and his journey and thoughts from kind of where we come in the field of STI, where we're going, where is sexual health leading us. And King, thank you for coming, and we're looking forward to hearing from you.
Thank you very much, Gail. And congratulations to all of these organizations that have come together to put this meeting on. It's really a first for the for conferences in this country, as far as I know. And it really is an exciting program. The particular congratulations to ASHA for its 100th birthday, and not only being older, but better. So, good work. I thought I should start by defining what is sexual health, since it's part of the title. Actually, Jonathan Ross and I edited a volume for sexually transmitted infections a couple of years ago that was called Sexual Health. And after it came out, Ward Cates came up to me and said, King, I've read the entire book and there's nothing in it about sexual health. So here's the definition. There are various ones, but this one says that it's a state of well-being in relation to sexuality across the lifespan, a positive, equitable, and respectful approach for sexuality, relationships, and reproduction. And it's the ability to understand the benefits, risks, and responsibilities of sexual freedom, the prevention and care of disease and other adverse outcomes. And I like it as a non-stigmatizing term. And if someday we call our STD clinics sexual health clinics like the British do,